right, everybody excited about what's happening? I could hear the excitement throughout the whole video there. Just want to, first of all, give a shout-out to a group of people around here that are making a difference, and that's the Dream Team. And I really appreciate, First of all, I want to also just kind of in saying that highlight a person by the name of Karen Stone. I'm looking at through there. She's kind of out here just taking care of things, and who is just doing a phenomenal job in leading this group of people. If you want to know how you can be a part of a Dream Team, that sounds like a lot of fun, and it is a lot of fun. We'll tell you how. In fact, that you just jump on the growth track, and we'll show you how you can do that and become a part of that. But we had just a phenomenal huddle this morning. It just keeps growing and growing. God's just building his church, and appreciate all the efforts you guys are doing and just making a difference, especially in this opportunity we have today to connect with this community. So just wanted to say love you guys. And so today we're in part four of a series on the book of Galatians, and a lot of times around here we do things in the way of series. When we do messages, we'll package them in what we call series. And then a couple times a year, we like to take a series that's not just topical, but actually take a book from the Bible and just do a series on that. It just helps us get into our Word, understand our Bible a little more, break it down into the context and just what all is going on in that, and just pull some spiritual truths out of that. And so that's what we're doing right now. We're actually in the book of Galatians. It's kind of a verse-by-verse sort of approach. And Galatians is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul. The word apostle means that he was a church planter, and he would go into different areas planting churches, and he would then move on and plant churches in other areas. There was actually a group of churches in this place called Galatia, which is what we call now modern Turkey, and he was there planting churches. But what happened, though, when he left this area was there was another group that came in followed up behind them receiving the gospel, and they would call them Judaizers, who were people who were the traditional Jews who believed the Old Testament, and all that was good, but they had some laws that did not necessarily apply to the new covenant and the receiving of grace through the faith in Jesus Christ. And so they started adding some things to it. So this group came along and they said, okay, I didn't know that you guys could be in the club, but now we understand that, okay, you are in the club, but you're going to have to do a few things. And so they started talking about circumcision and things. And so Paul got wind of this. And actually, Paul was a little bit fired up about it and didn't understand why, you know, they had begun to go to what he called another gospel and began to change the truth, because they were walking in this spirit of grace and freedom and salvation and joy. And then this thing came along and it put them right back into this thing that was just religion and dead and hard. And so in week one, we talked about actually that issue, that there's actually two gospels that are out there. Where one is very life-giving, and then another is very religious and very binding. And so we talked about that. It's very foundational. In fact, I encourage you can go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com. We have our messages archived there, and you can download the notes there and listen to this message, because it's not only foundational for the series, but it's also very foundational for what we do as a church, because really there's two brands of Christianity out there. We talked about that. One's a tree of life, and the other is kind of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where we do it through our knowledge and what we can do, and one kills and one gives life. And then the next week, the second week, we talked about actually there's a tendency oftentimes to swing from tree to tree. There's like a vine that grows between those two trees, and so Paul gave us the secret of how not to be swinging from tree to tree like Tarzan. You know, and so and how to find freedom and life and joy versus this very religious way. Last week we talked about how the fact that Paul in chapter 3 actually took a whole chapter just to talk about this thing, grace, just making sure we all understand what this grace is, and that it is a free gift that you cannot earn. And it really fuels the whole process, and it's so important to understand what grace is. Well, today I think what we're going to talk about today is probably one of the most important truths that holds all these lessons, pulls all these lessons together, and that's the idea of relationship. It's more enjoyable topic to talk about than to talk about this concept of relationships, and that if you don't have this component, right, because, see, this thing oftentimes, if you don't have this component, and this relationship, by the way, is described in this context as sonship. We're going to talk about that. But if you don't have this component, it will leave, and leave this part out, nothing else works. Nothing else works. And so if there is a life message, this is it. And that is that God never wanted this thing to be your religion. He always wanted to be in relationship with you. He always just wanted to be in relationship. And so I want to just kind of define a term that is in here, and that's this term of sonship, so that we kind of all understand this term of being a son or sonship. Ladies, don't be offended. Actually, he's actually not just referring to that in a gender sense, but he's talking in the general sense of sons and daughters being children of God. And so, in fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, and by the way, you have message notes there in your worship guide that you can pull out and follow along and fill in some blanks there. And this scripture is there and also here on the screen for you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so, ladies, don't be offended, because us guys are called the bride of Christ. Okay, so it's kind of a general sense there. So, but sonship, or it speaks of relationships, and so it's actually more than just an idea. It's a spirit. There's a spirit of sonship, which is really a mystery, one of the mysteries of the faith. And when that happens, when the spirit of sonship comes in your life, everything changes in your life. And so let's get right into this and look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let's just take it up there. So, but when the time, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive adoption to, look at that, sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit, now there it is, that spirit, there's a spirit of his son into our hearts, and the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. And so what it's saying is there is a spirit of his son that can live inside of you. It's not just an idea. It's not just a belief. It's something that can happen in our hearts. And my hope for you today is that that will happen in your life today. And so we need the spirit of his son living inside of us. And so now we begin to say, Abba, Father, and that is really interpreted Daddy God. And so it is very, very relational. So now we're addressing God relational, not religious, not religiously, but relationally. And so for a lot of people, that's very foreign. In fact, for this group of people in the Bible, that was very foreign, that what Paul was introducing, because they knew God is this distant God that's way out there in heaven. He's a big God. He'll strike you down. I mean, you know, lightning bolt. You touch that ark, you're going to be a grease spot. I mean, that's the God they knew of in this big cloud and thing. And what now Jesus has come to reveal is that he is our God, our Father. And so Paul began to talk more about this, and that we are to be in relationship with him. And so he goes on to say that they're no longer a slave. And notice the contrast. There's a contrast between being a slave versus being the son. And so we need to make sure we understand the difference, and that we're operating in the right concept. So I want to talk about that today, about the difference between being a slave versus being in a son relationship. And let's just go right to our notes. First of all, the slave has a master. The slave has a master. A master is always demanding something from you. You know, and to approach the master, you're going to fall on your face, you're going to crawl, you're going to do penance, he's my master. And I get there's a concept of that, but there's an extreme of that that's just not healthy and not what God wants you to understand of how he wants to relate to you in your life. Actually, I understand there's a church in Mexico that that in order to approach God, that you need to crawl to Him. In fact, they get on their knees and they'll walk for miles to get to come to the church. And there is a trail that comes from different streets in different directions coming towards this church. They call it the blood trail, where they feel like you gotta just show God that you're meek and lowly, and you just gotta get down and crawl until there's no more skin on your knees. That is not the relationship that God wants to have with you. That is not what God wants. God doesn't want you to have that kind of understanding of who He is. It's more than that. In fact, so now we've come to this place where he's very relational. And so the Son then, on the contrast of that, Son has a father. The Son has a father. And so with a father, you're going to jump up in his lap. You're going to play. You're going to laugh. You're going to say, "Daddy, can I have some candy, please? Come on, can I have some candy?" And the father's going to be going, "Yeah." I mean, think about it. Now, some of you may say, whoa, that's just irreverent. I don't think of God that way. Do you know that when Jesus came on this earth, that they had to pull the kids off of Him? The disciples had to pull them off of Him because, and you know, He wasn't some prune face like these artists have depicted Him, you know, doing, you know, sucked in, malnourished, kind of walking gently in His robe across. And that little curveball thing going. You know, any kid that was attracted to Jesus, they wouldn't be attracted to a person like that. They're attracted to a guy who's got candy in his pocket and going, "Yeah, come on." And they're just climbing on Him, right? And the disciples trying to pull Him off of Him. Jesus said, "Leave them alone. They're great. They're great." I want you to understand that God is a very life-giving God. And look at what Romans chapter 8 says. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Oh, I'm just trembling. No, rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. There it is again. And by Him we cry, "Abba, Father," Daddy God. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And so that word for Abba there, it's Aramaic, and it means Daddy God. It's an endearing term. And so you can always tell what kind of relationship you have, listen to this, with you have by what you call a person. And so when you pray Daddy God, Daddy, that changes the relationship. You know how you know somebody by how you call them. If somebody comes up to me and they say, "Well, hello, Reverend Hobbs," I would know that they really don't know me, okay? They may know about me, but they don't know me. Because, you know, if you know me, it might be, "Hey, Pastor Aaron," or, you know, "Theron." And it's, "What should we call you?" "Just call me, okay? I don't care. Just call me, you know? I just want you to call me." But really, how we connect, it makes a difference, okay? And so so that the way you call determines the relationship. Look at the next thing. The slave is an employee. Have you ever went into a restaurant and you could tell the person serving you or maybe the hostess is an employee and they don't own the place because they really don't have the best interest of the place in mind, you know? I mean, you got a line of people out the door and the hostess is sitting there going, "Yeah, you know. Oh, number 54, you know." You got a table, and they don't really care, and they're in no hurry. But, you know, if they own the place, they'd be, and I'm talking about when seats are open and they're out of line, okay? But if they own the place, you know, every table would be full. They'd be looking after, seeing how everybody's doing, right? Because they have an invested interest. And so, and oftentimes, Christianity is, we need to understand, oftentimes it's just not in our heart. In other words, we don't see ourselves as part of the family business. It's just like, "Well, you know, okay, I kind of do that thing." But it's different when you're not just an employee. Look at the next thing. A son is an heir. It's different when it's the family business. And so here's how I want to put this. We don't just work for God. We work with God. He's given us ownership into this thing. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. That's why the first Sunday of every month, we have what we offer here in the Growth Track. You just heard about it, Church 101. That happens the first Sunday of every month. And we offer the opportunity to come in and just see who we are as a church and do membership if you'd like to do that. And at the end of that, we have a covenant that we go through and talk through that. And that gives me the opportunity to say, "Hey," and in fact, some of you went through 101, didn't get this. Let me just make sure you get it now. And that is that when you now are part of this church, this carpet is your carpet, okay? The guests are your guests, right? I mean, this piano, it's your piano, right? Right? And Dwayne said, wait a minute. Because it changes everything when, you know, it's not, well, y'all. No, it's us. Because you're bought into this thing. You're an heir of this thing. I think that's just awesome. So at the end of the Church 101, I don't just want your signature. I want your heart. I want your heart. I want this thing to get inside of you and understand this is me. This is my church. Okay? I'm part of this thing. And that's how it is in that kind of relationship. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Look at that. Heirs of God. And look at this. And co-heirs with Christ. So the truth of that is that everything God has, He wants you to have. Isn't that awesome? In fact, the Bible says that no good thing will He withhold from them to ask Him. He just delights to bless you and to do good for you and to give you things. And so, and then there's some confusion oftentimes on this prosperity thing, and I think there's a balance to that. And the balance is simply this, that God wants to bless you in an enormous kind of way, but not just to bless you. He wants you to bless His kids, because if we're a part of the family business, we're going to give it away on His behalf to others, right? And so God wants you to be a blessing to those around you. And so God wants you to have more than you need. Come on, some of you like that part? How about this part? So that you can be a blessing to others. And so I want to give you the next point, but I want to give a pre-scripture to set this up before the point. Last week we talked about being free and grace, and you know, and there can be a misconception of that. Well, that means just people just come here and get grace and not do anything, because people need to change. You know, people say, well, Pastor, you can't just talk that grace thing and just think everything's free and don't cost you anything. People need to change. But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in that, because until you experience grace, you can't change. And oftentimes we want people to change first. But you got to experience God's grace, which is free, which you can't do anything to earn it. And once you experience the grace and God comes inside of you, does the work, that's when the change happens. So there's an order to this thing. So people are often demanding, no, you need to do things to get to God. You can't. And so the balance is, but that doesn't give us a license not to do anything, okay? And you say, well, but you still got to do something. Yeah, there are some things to do. But the order is that you got to have grace first, and then it enables you to do what God's called you to do. And so here's a dream verse for you. This is a verse that is just a dream verse, what I would dream for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work hard. So there's work to do. There's disciplines. There's those things that come. But it's, look at this. Work hard to show the result of your salvation. Not to get saved. It's the result of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is, look at this, working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Right? So it's there's a place for obedience. There's a place for discipline. But really what happens here in this is that your desire changes. And everything changes, right? Your desire changes. So my hope is that I don't come up here and just try to tell you, here's the do's and here's the don'ts. You know, don't do the don'ts and do the do's. You know, I mean, and wear myself out. Hey, I have a harder time doing those on my own, you know. But wouldn't it be much better if we have something change on the inside of us and our desire changes? God's working in us and He gives us the desire. So when you come here, I want you to understand what the language would be here at our church. You're not going to have me come up here and say, you better, and you, I'm warning you, and I'm demanding that you, and if you don't, and give you threats, or else. No. Instead, my hope is to lead you into a relationship with God where the desire will change. And then God gives you the power to do it. So here's the point. Look at this. The slave is driven by duty. Well, I know to read my Bible, and I've been reading my Bible, and I got things to do. I'm going to read my Bible. How many? I'm only on verse 3. Oh, I got to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. All right, well, it's time to pray. And we're 17 minutes in. We've run out of everything on our list to pray for. I guess I need to pray for another 30 minutes. Pray. Or it's serve day. And some of you are going, oh, I can't wait for serve day. It takes so long for that thing to roll around, those that are in love with Jesus. I just can't wait for serve day. And somebody else goes, I'm going to give up my Saturdays. That's the only day I got off in the whole week is Saturdays. I have my serve day. People take care of themselves. I got enough to take care of my own self. Or the pastor says, you missed a Sunday. Come on, we missed you last week. Well, and we'd love to have you here every week. And want me here every week? Every week? Just for that. I ain't going next week. I ain't going just despite the guy. I don't put demands on me. Tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. But the son is driven by devotion. The slave is driven by duty, but the son is driven by devotion. I want to give you one of the best stories in the Bible to describe this. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 begins. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, look, both of them loved Jesus, and they wanted to give something to Jesus, but they were doing it with different spirits. Okay? And so then here she comes. So, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made, and she came to him and said, Lord, you don't care about my sister. She left me to do all the work by myself. I have to do this all by myself. Lord, would you tell her to get in here and help me? I just think this verse fell on the most perfect Sunday because I got both of my sisters here with me today. And every time I read this verse, I think of my two sisters. My sisters are here. Y'all welcome my two sisters here today. Come on. They're here from Orlando, came up to see my son graduate this weekend. They flew in Friday. We're flying them back out Monday. That's all I can take up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But every time I read the scripture, even growing up, I thought of my two sisters because back in the day, we didn't have dishwashers. We were the dishwashers. And one would wash, and one would rinse. And I'd do the drying on the end, you know, If they got me to do that. You know, usually it's just the two of them. But anyway, and it was after church on Sundays. You know, you're tired after church on Sundays. It's Selah. You know, it's Sabbath. You got to rest. Shalom. And so, and I can still remember to this day. It seemed like every Sunday was this constant argument. I got to go take a nap now, one of them would say. And see, I'm not going to give up which one. So y'all can figure out who Mary and Martha is later. I'm not going to do that. But one of them would say, I got to go take a nap. And they'd say, you got to get in here and help me. And then what was really good is we had this spray thing that you rinse this thing off with, but it had this hose. Y'all know where I'm going with that, don't you? That's where the dry man would come in, clean up the floor, you know. But I can really relate to this thing because, you know, there's this tendency sometimes that we want to swing to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's a spirit of life that God wants us to enjoy, and that's having a relationship with Him. And so the problem is you've got the wrong spirit. And so maybe I better read this a little more clearly since I didn't before. She said to him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one, and Mary has, and I love this word, chosen the better. And there's a choice to be made. It's not about a feeling. It's a choice that you have that you say, and you could say it today, I'm going to be in relationship with God. I think that's what we're trying to do here as a church. We're trying to do some things in a little bit different way, maybe a little bit non-traditional, maybe a little bit different than what you're used to. But what we, our desire is, the goal of all this, is to create a place and there be a spirit in the place where we bring people into a relationship with God so that the whole thing is motivated by devotion, not duty. That we're just in love with Jesus. And we can connect with who He is. So how do we do that? Let's look at that. How do we live in this relationship with God? Galatians chapter 4, look at it with me. Formerly, you did not know God. Okay, it was kind of a religious thing, but you didn't really know God. And you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, now your relationship with Him, or rather are known by God, that's even more powerful. How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over? And so he corrects them, but about this relationship thing. And so we got to ask, what do we need to do? And let me help you with that. I'm going to give you three little steps I believe that helps us get in that place of relationship with Him. Number one, and that is see God as Father. See God as Father. It starts with the eyes. When you come to God, what does He look like to you? Your view of God will determine your relationship with Him. Matthew 7 says this, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you be evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your, look at this, your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? He's actually speaking about the Holy Spirit. Actually, today is considered Pentecost Sunday, for those of you that didn't know that, and where God was just giving His gift of His Spirit to dwell inside of you. And so here Jesus is saying, hey, God knows how to give good gifts, and He describes Him as your Father. For them, it was revolutionary in their mindset to understand really that this was what God was like. He was a father figure. And for a lot of people, that's a problem because we haven't had necessarily the best earthly examples in our own fathers. But we've got to be really careful with that and get healed from that to understand who really God is. Because too many times we cause a relationship with people on earth to affect our relationship with God in heaven. That was powerful. Let me say that again. Okay, too many of us cause relationships with people on earth to affect their relationship with God in heaven. And that's not just our fathers. That can be a lot of people, okay? And so, really, how you see God is so important. Number two, approach God through relationship, not rules, not rules. In our house, we have rules, sort of. But there's times where you can step outside of those rules and fall into the favor of the Father. And even though the rules aren't there and haven't been really adhered to, because you've got this relationship, I mean, it's like a son who comes to a father and, you know how it is with that. You know, they come and you say, okay, what do you want? How much? You know, where, I mean, and then the child turns and says, no, Dad, I just want to hang out with you. Huh? Yeah, Dad, let's shoot some hoops. Let's just go. What are you doing? I just want to spend some time with you. Yeah? What do you want? You just name the price, son. You just name. I mean, because there's a relationship there, right? And so he's got my heart now. It's a relationship. So how do you get God, His Spirit, into your marriage? How do you get it into your job, into your school, into your finances? Hey, in our church, it's through relationship. Look at John chapter 5. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the very Scriptures, Jesus said, that testify about Me. Yet you refuse to come to Me to have life. And He says, look, the goal wasn't to get you to read your Bible. The goal was to get you to find Me. The goal wasn't to get you to pray for an hour. The goal was to meet with Me. The goal wasn't just to serve. The goal was that you could serve with Me and encounter Me. You see, there's got to be a different approach to this thing. And we've missed the relationship side of the whole thing. We've got to see him right. We've got to approach him relationally. Number three, give God my whole heart. Give God my whole heart. So when you do this thing, you've got to go all in. You got to fall in love with God, and it doesn't work. Let me say it again. It doesn't work. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't work. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't work unless you go all in. If you go in 90% and say, oh, I tried that thing, that Christian thing, does it work? No, because you didn't go in 100%. It doesn't work. It only works if you go all in. I'm looking at somebody this morning that is new to the church that told me I'm an all-in kind of person. I said, I like you. Go all in. Right? Jeremiah 29, verse 13, 14. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with, look at it, all your heart. With all your heart. And I will be found by you. You can find God, he declares, right? So the antithesis of this verse is, if you don't seek me with all your heart, you won't find me, right? So you got to go all in. You got to go all in. I remember, last week we had Mother's Day, and I remember my mom's now 83. My dad will be soon turning 81. They're celebrating their 64th anniversary next month, 63rd. And I remember they weren't able to come up this week. Broke my heart. They weren't able to come up. Just not physically able right now. But I remember she came one visit several years ago. And while she was here, she had a heart attack, massive heart attack. And I remember, boy, you're talking about feeling responsible. My two sisters were in Orlando. I'm here. I'm the guy. I got to take care of Mom. Buddy, was I looking out for Mom? Something about moms, you know. They just have your heart. You know, why is it that Dad shows you how to throw the ball, you know, how to fish, how to hunt? Is that still okay to say? Anyway, and then you're on TV and say, hi, Mom. I mean, what's with that? You know, moms just have your heart, you know? And I remember just the whole world, you know, stood still worrying about Mom. I didn't want anybody else in the house to move. Don't stress her. Don't stress her. Just shh. Because it's in a relationship with her. Care about her. You know, God wants that relationship with us where he just has our heart. He has our heart. Let me flip it around and give you another analogy, and that is as a father to a son. My son, we'll talk about it here in just a moment very briefly, but my son graduated from UNC Charlotte yesterday. And I'm not going to cry. Okay, that's good stuff. It was good. But, you know, I can remember. Oh, y'all save it. It's later. Just save it. Let's save it. But I can remember, you know, I'd do anything for my son. We're in relationship. I know some of you don't like him, but I like him. I kind of like him. And I remembered I was over there yesterday in graduation and listening stuff. And he gave the graduation commencement speech, which was really cool. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do now? Because I would tell you the 3 o'clock in the morning runs to cookout or wherever I needed to go. You know, I said, so you call me in the middle of the night. It's raining. I'll come and get you. I mean, we just live right across the street from school. That works out really good. Some of y'all don't have that advantage to be able to do that. It's just real close. And just like last year, he graduated with a 4-year last year. He graduated 5-year this year program. Anyway, I gave him this. I get to this point, I can't talk. We just kind of look at each other. We know. We just know. And I hugged him. And he hugged me back. That's really cool when they hug you back, you know. But I want to tell you, it's that father-son relationship. I want to tell you something. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. There's nothing. That doesn't compare. It doesn't compare to the love that God has for us. That we can't even begin to fathom the love that God has for us. If we could understand fully what Jesus did when God sent his son Jesus to this earth to die for us and take our place so we wouldn't have to. And there was his, listen, now this blows me away. There was his own son saying, Daddy God, where are you? But the Heavenly Father didn't just see his son Jesus. He saw his sons and daughters here and says, it's got to happen for them, for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed for just a moment, if you would. Let me give you this last point. You could write it down later, but it's relationship changes everything. Relationship changes everything. Father, we thank you for a relationship. Thank you for your son, Jesus, that you gave to die on the cross to pay for our sins so we wouldn't have to. Today, help us to know a relationship with you that's not based on duty, it's based on delight. Help us that we may know you and be known by you. God, help us to be in a relationship that changes everything, that changes us from being a slave to a son, a daughter, a child. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Today, you might be saying, you're describing me today. It's been more out of duty. Didn't intend it to be that way, but sometimes we just kind of swing to that other tree. But today you realize you need to have a right relationship with God. I'd like to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to simply lead you in a prayer. But if today you're saying, Pastor, if you pray that prayer of commitment to Jesus, would you count me in that prayer? If that's you, I'd like you just to slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. Yes, proud of you. Thank you. Others, yes, thank you. God bless you today. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to pray this prayer, whether you raise your hand or not, would you just simply, there in your heart, just pray this to the Lord. Just pray something like this. Let it be your prayer. I'm just going to help you with the words. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, thank you for taking my place, for paying for my sins. Today, I turn from my way, my striving, my efforts, and I simply, by faith, receive your grace. Forgive me for going my way. Today I turn to you. I invite you to come inside of me. Live in me. Make me new on the inside. Be the Lord of my life. Today, Jesus, come on, say this. I give you my life. Come on, say it again. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you, God, for every person who just surrendered their life to you. I celebrate all along with heaven with them, God. And I pray now that your Holy Spirit will give them the ability. For your grace is not just unmerited favor, but it's the enabling power to be what you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, your Spirit come, live inside of them, walk with them, talk with them. Lord, I thank you for the relationship that we all can have with you. And I pray that this will be a glorious day. God, as we unite not only with one another in this church, but with our community that's going to meet us here on this lawn. God, I pray that, Lord, we would understand the importance of relationship and just loving people. Let us be your hands extended. Let us be your feet today. Let us, Lord, be able, God, to allow your heart to be seen through us of how you love us with such a great love that's indescribable. God, I thank you for the miracle of your love. By faith, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for his word today. Amen. Amen. Amen.